So this afternoon, we're going to be continuing our day of mindfulness, covering the remaining three aggregates: perception, mental formations, and consciousness. And so our format will be pretty much the same as this morning, with talks followed by a meditation session for some, and a breakout discussion for others. And we'll have the in-person people will have a breakout discussion after this talk. I'm going my talk, my first talk, and then the online people will have a breakout discussion after the second talk on mental formations. And so that's kind of the way that it will be going, but we'll let you know when these things actually happen and make sure that there's some instructions about what to do with the groups. And now I know better than to shut the meeting down in order to end the breakout group, so I'm not going to do that again. So now I'm going to start with a short talk on the third aggregate, which is perception. And perception, which is also known as sanna in Pali, is defined as the recognition or the interpretation of sense objects followed by mental labeling. And that's kind of a funny definition, but it's basically the sense of the mind recognizing something and saying, oh, this is such and such. This is so and so. So it's that function of the mind that classifies and categorizes things. The part of the mind that hears a sound and thinks, ah, that's a bird, or that's a car going by, or sees some kind of objects and thinks, oh, that's a tree, that's a table, that's a book, and so on. Or sees a person and thinks, that's a man. That's my friend Jane. That's a stranger. So it's that place where we categorize what we see. And it's a place also where there is a kind of a movement from just the bare experience of whatever we're coming in contact to the place where we have a concept of whatever it is that we're experiencing. Some of you might have been at Norman Fisher's talk, that was what, you know, maybe a week or so ago or two, and heard him read Robert Creeley's poem, The Edge. And there were some lines in that poem that I thought were really wonderful to get at this sense of what perception is and how it really is sort of at an edge, a transition from bare awareness and simple recognition to being caught up in an idea. And he says in the poem, "The snow from a high sky, gray, floats down to me softly. This must be the edge of being before the thought of it blurs it and can only recall it." So that gives this place, you know, the edge of being before the thought of it blurs it and can only recall it. So we get this kind of sense that this place of perception is kind of a subtle, fragile place where we recognize it. And if the mind can rapidly move further, totally into our memories and ideas and thoughts about that thing, and maybe sort of lose the experience of the thing and get caught in our memories and ideas of it. So it's kind of a interesting place to investigate, and one that maybe we don't really notice all that often. Now, part of what's going on with perception is the mind sensing, I recognize this thing. I know what this thing is. And there's often also a component to this recognizing that goes a little bit further and says, oh, okay, this is a familiar thing. This isn't dangerous. I don't have to worry about this thing. Or maybe recognizing and saying, oh, this is a dangerous thing. I need to be careful of it. I need to avoid it. Or it also could be sometimes that we don't recognize the thing so clearly. We perceive it as an unknown thing that we need to investigate more thoroughly and more carefully because we don't know what is this thing. Now, this naming and classifying is an important function of the mind, and of course we need to be able to do it. We have to be able to organize and make sense of all these different things we encounter in our world if we're going to function effectively. And, you know, in some situations when we're on retreat, for example, we might be able to focus mindful attention on every little thing we come in contact with and that arises and really be present for all the tiny details. But in everyday life where we have all sorts of different things to do and tasks to perform, it's pretty hard to do that and pay that kind of meticulous attention to every little thing. So we need to have some sense of the known things we don't have to pay close attention to and the things that maybe we do have to pay close attention to because we're working with them or, you know, they're unknown or whatever. So this naming and categorizing function of the mind isn't a bad thing in any way at all. In fact, it's a really necessary and helpful thing. And even in formal meditation, it can be a helpful thing when it's balanced with mindfulness. I was listening to a talk by Joseph Goldstein on perception, who I think many of you know who he is. He's sort of our maha guru of mindfulness, you know. He always has good and wise words to say about everything in this practice. And he said that when perception is balanced with mindfulness, this naming function that is perception can really help us focus our attention on whatever object is most predominant in our experience and go deeper and see the object more clearly. So in this way, it functions kind of like that meditation technique that some of you might be familiar with of noting, where when we recognize something that's coming up in our experience, we make a soft mental note of whatever it is that's drawing our attention, like, you know, hearing or warmth or throbbing or whatever it might be. And then use that kind of mental note to bring our attention more closely to that object to help us sort of stay with the object instead of just going off in our train of thoughts about whatever is happening. So that's a good way to use this perception to help us move more closely to whatever our experience is and really be present for it. But of course, a lot of the time, in fact, most of the time, perception isn't in balance with mindfulness. And this is especially true in our everyday lives. So instead of recognizing something and then paying attention to it in more detail, we recognize it and then we think, oh, that's whatever. I know what that is. I know all about it. You know, I don't need to look at it any more closely. And so what we see then tends to be our idea of the thing, what we feel like we know about it, our concept of the thing. And we don't really go beyond that. We just stay on the surface and stop looking. Why do we need to look? We know what this thing is. And as I said earlier, this is a good and natural thing sometimes because if we weren't able to do this, we'd just be totally overwhelmed by all the sense information we take in and we wouldn't be able to really function in a very good way in our everyday lives. But at the same time, we need to recognize that our concept of something, our idea of something isn't necessarily really the same thing as that thing itself. When we classify and recognize and then stop looking, we can really miss a lot. And if you remember, when the Buddha talks about the aggregates in the Satipatthana Sutta, he instructs us to be mindful of the arising and passing of each aggregate, and this includes perception. But it can be pretty hard to see the arising and passing of perception because that process happens so quickly and so automatically. Each moment of perception really is just an instant, and what we see in each moment is so, you know, fleeting. And it happens so fast that we tend to mistake these moments of this something coming and going for something that's continuous. It's sort of like our mind kind of fills the gaps between the perceiving this and this and this and this. It happens so fast that the mind fills a gap, so it feels like it's something continuous, and we think things are more permanent than they really are. And sometimes we can, in meditation, in deep meditation, we have that kind of, what would you say, sort of very deep and detailed looking, so we can begin to see this. But it's not something that it's very easy to see, but something, you know, maybe to be aware of the fact that perception is something that happens very quickly. Something that may be more common, and I think maybe actually more problematic in our everyday lives, is what I mentioned before, is this sense of just stopping and not looking anymore. Feeling like we know all about what it is, we know what the thing is, so we ignore it and our mind goes off looking for something more interesting. There's other times when we don't stop and pause and go into the thing, and we get so caught up in our thoughts, our ideas, our memories that this thing brings up, that it's not the actual experience we're aware of, but we're totally lost in our idea of the thing, our memories of the thing from past experience. So this is sort of a time when there's the perception happens, and then that whole momentum of the aggregates just keeps going. So we're sort of caught in all our ideas and stories. And when that happens, we're not really seeing the object itself, or we're not really noticing the perception, moment of perception itself. So we don't really see anything coming and going. We don't see the changing nature. We're just with this idea of whatever it is we're seeing. And the idea can be, you know, pretty fixed. Also, we don't really see whatever it is we're looking at in its full complexity and detail. And sometimes our perceptions are just not right. We think something is one way when actually it's really different. A simple example that I thought about of how we might recognize some object and not really see its full complexity is when we see something, you know, like a leaf maybe, or the skin on our arm, or a drop of pond water. And we think, you know, okay, this is a leaf. This is a drop of water. That's just this one thing. But then, for example, if we looked at it under a microscope, we might see something very different. We'd see that this piece of skin has all kinds of different cells, tiny hairs, all this complexity we can't see with the naked eye. And the same thing would be true of the structure of the leaf, equally complex, or a drop of pond water that we think is just a clear drop of water might be full of all kinds of microscopic creatures. So there might be much more to these objects that we recognize than our surface perceptions of them. And then, as I mentioned before, sometimes our perceptions aren't just limited, but they're just plain wrong. We think something is one way when actually it's quite different. We assume that something is the same now as a similar thing we experienced before was, maybe years ago. We think that something that we recognize is the same as the way we were taught to think about it. Even if the way we're taught to think about it in the first place wasn't really very accurate. And in our everyday lives, we do this a lot with people, with our routine activities, with all sorts of things. We assume things are a certain way. We assume they're the way that they've always been, that people are the way they always been, that we know what they're like and that's how they're going to behave. And we sort of forget the fact that things change. In reality, what's happening in the present moment isn't the same as what happened yesterday or 10 years ago, isn't the same as our memory or our idea of something. So the trouble with relying too much on perception without recognizing it is that we stop looking and we might not see fully or clearly. And it's also true that the I can really insert itself in here too when we're dealing with perception. Just like all the other aggregates, there can be clinging, there can be identification. And we can get really attached to our perceptions. And especially when our perceptions sort of move on a little bit to these ideas that are associated with them. We assume our perceptions are correct. We have that feeling of, I know what this thing is. I already know. I don't need to even think about it. This is the way it is, right? Except in truth, well, you know, maybe we don't know. We think we know, but maybe we really don't. Think of all the assumptions we make about what people are like, what our day is going to be like, what so-and-so is going to say, all kinds of things, so many things. And sometimes our perceptions are reasonably accurate. But things change. Each moment is different from the next, and so they're never going to be completely accurate. There's always something that's going to be a little bit different than the way it was before, than the way we remember it. And other times we can be way off. So this is something to reflect on, those everyday perceptions and assumptions you make about yourself and the things around you. Remembering that maybe they're kind of an approximation of what usually happens, but they might not really be the truth about what's happening in the present moment. So there's these two levels, you know, there's this kind of very detailed level of noticing what happens in our minds, the recognition of something. And then the way we can very quickly substitute the idea for the experience, and then our everyday life where we are often kind of operating on what we assume things to be and what our past has been and our memories have been, and maybe having faulty or incomplete perceptions. So it's a kind of an interesting but sort of subtle area, I think, to explore. And it's something where it's really easy to kind of, sort of like in the poem, the line between actually experiencing the thing and then moving off into our ideas about the thing is a really slippery slope and a really kind of hard to actually see, but sometimes we can notice and feel that. So an interesting topic to look at, and I think maybe one that deserves more attention than we usually give it.